This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to Also Radio. I'm Jay.
And I'm Monet.
Let's get into the edit.
Tell me what you did since last week.
We went to Nightfall.
Yes, for those who don't know, Nightfall is like... Well, actually, so first, Nightfall is at Old Tucson, which is like an old film studio where they did a lot of westerns. They then started transforming it during the holidays into Spooky Center.
Yeah, right? Spooky Town.
So they have like shows and stuff where there's like, how would you explain it? Like western ghost, like...
Yeah, western gunslinger shows.
So...
Ghost gunslinger shows.
We took Mila and had a lot of fun. Mila now wants to become a scare actor because Jessica also, I don't know if we even told, Jessica is Jay.
Yes. Right? we are one. Yes,
same person. But she's like, Jessica was a scare actor. I want to be a scare actor too. So she has a new dream.
Girl after my own heart.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. When I was probably her age, I was young enough to still want to do that. So I definitely was 13.
Wait, you know what I don't know? What did you dress up as?
I think you just put on some...
Like raggedy, like
yeah,
dirty. Like
I can't even remember. Oh, yeah. No, they have a whole makeup trailer for you. I do remember doing my own makeup because I've always loved to
do home
makeup.
Would you like drip blood down here?
Dirt. I'm not actual dirt, but you know, like I would just go full dirt. Like you just want to look as. Yeah. And the haunted house I worked in was like an asylum. Yeah. So the crazier you looked, the better, the more on brand. So you just got to go to town with it. And you would get there after school. So... I would eat dinner. I'd go there probably 5 o'clock and then you'd be ready by 6 o'clock and you would...
You are a girl that's after a full schedule, huh? Even since then.
And I wonder why I'm so burnt out. No, I my energy levels go like this. But if it's something I truly love, yeah. I can do it all. It's when I'm doing something I'm not passionate about that I start to...
Yeah, I mean, that kills us all, right?
Yeah.
You should have seen her, though, when we're in there. And she was in there, like, the SWAT team. Like, they're going to be there. And I'm a sissy. I am a very big wuss. I would prefer to not even go to Nightfall or not even deal with it. So I actually was very grateful that you were SWAT teaming it for me. Because I was like, I don't want, like, a sudden... jolt of
adrenaline.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's easier if you like peek around the corners, even though they got me a couple of times, but it's really fun like peeking around the corners and just looking and like looking at the ground trying to see their feet. And then I mean, you did really well though. You went...
Thank you. I tried.
She took us through
very hard.
Every single haunted house and one of them twice, the scariest one twice.
Yes.
And you did great.
There was a long hallway, though, that I kind of thought I was going to lose.
Completely black.
Yeah.
And
it went on for years and years and years and years, honestly.
And there was someone standing at the end of it.
Yeah. Did you... There was a lady that was, like, completely contorted, too. Did you see her?
Twice. Yes, I said hi to her twice.
That was terrifying.
I could have lived
without seeing that situation. That brings up... Or I guess that goes into a segue. I was listening to My Favorite Murder, and there was an episode that they were speaking on an exorcist that had happened. And obviously, this was a very long time ago. They relied on the priest to try and fix this young lady's mental health issues, which is what they were. But what ended up happening was they give the priest too much time to try and fix this exorcism, essentially. And she ended up getting down to like 66 pounds and she just withered away. And
was this the story that inspired the exorcism of Emily Rose?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't hear this on My Favorite Murder. I know about this.
Do you know about it?
I mean, I know that there was a girl who was suffering from mental health schizophrenia and paranoia, and her family thought she was possessed by the devil, and instead of getting her help, they tied her to her bed and left her in her room with the windows open, and like, we're trying to get the spirits out. And
actually, this couldn't happen that long ago, right? Because I think they had said that during the exorcism they heard, or they at least they claimed that they heard Hitler's voice come out of her. So this had to at least have been after that, which is kind of too recent in my opinion to let this happen, right?
If I'm being honest, I am willing to bet that there are parts of the of the world,
absolutely,
and even in this country where that is still possible. Where the belief, and whatever your beliefs are, what they are, but there are certainly communities in this country that are isolated enough, and there are people living in those places that were raised to believe that that you should exorcise somebody without the help of a mental health professional, and would do something thinking that they're being helpful, but ultimately just.
And that was the thing too. So I guess was her name Emily Rose, or do you know what it was?
No, it wasn't. It was something else. I don't remember what it was.
She was okay with it because she was also devout Catholic. And so she's like, this is what I need to do. This is how I'm going to be healed. And this is how I'm going to get out of this.
So, she died, right?
Yeah, she ended up dying from malnutrition.
Isn't that wild. Crazy?
Yeah. So that was a good story that I heard this week. If you haven't heard the story, I'd go check it out, because I'm sure that I misreported something around there. Yeah. And then I also watched a documentary, My Perfect Neighbor, or Your Perfect Neighbor, something, The Perfect Neighbor, maybe. I'd watch that. I liked the format of it. It was all done under body cams from cops, and it's a story that I think is worth hearing. And what else did I watch this week? I watch a lot of TV while I'm editing, while I'm working. So I tend to watch a ton of stuff because I always, like, I need to have something on, like something that's stimulating my brain.
Any Halloween movies?
I don't know if obviously
we're running out of time.
Yeah, you know I'm a sissy, so I don't tend to watch a ton of Halloween movies.
I mean, like Hocus Pocus.
No, I haven't watched it this year yet, but we can watch it. We'll watch it.
I just watched it. I watched the first one and the second one.
I didn't even know there's a second one.
Back to back. Second one is not as good as the first
one. Well, maybe I'll watch it, because I also had some manifestations this week, and I did my own witchy stuff. As skeptical as I am of a human, I really do believe in, I don't necessarily even know if I would say it's manifestation, but I just kind of like talk to the universe, and I put it out there, and I let the universe know what I want and what I feel like I want to go after, and I just hope that it's listening back to me, essentially. But I did some witchy stuff this week, and I hope it comes.
Do you want to tell them what you did?
No, it's a secret right okay, now. It's a secret until it comes true. I will tell you guys when it works, then I will confirm whether or not it's a good method.
Okay, so speaking of the universe.
Yes, speaking of the
and
universe.
One of our favorite topics.
Yes.
Something that we have been dying to talk about for 8 weeks.
Astrology. Introduce your sign first.
My son is an Aries. My son is an Aries. Is in Aries. My moon is Virgo, and my rising is Sagittarius.
Yes. So we tend to go off of our big three first. Mine are Taurus, Virgo, Leo. And that's an order of rising,
moon.
No,
sun,
moon, rising. I always forget the orders, but I know what my big three are. I just never really know how mixed up they are. We're both Virgos, though.
We have Virgo moons.
We're both Virgo moon. So I think that's why we are the way that we are, right?
Very analytical, very organized.
Very organized and very, I think even in terms of this, wanting to give ourselves more homework and wanting to, let's see what else we can do. Let's see what else we can provide. Let's see how to consistently make our brains expand a little bit more. But if we're going back 4,000 years is when astrology began. So this is at the beginning of humanity, right? Mm-hmm. This is during Mesopotamia, where the Babylonians first started to notice patterns. So generally, they would use it in terms of recording eclipses, planetary alignments, seasonal shifts. And then they would use that information to predict floods, crop cycles, and I guess any type of royal fates that they needed to go, this is the period of kings, queens. They would consult astrologists back then to kind of figure out what they wanted to do political wise.
And around 2000 BCE, they had developed this detailed celestial calendar. By the 5th century, they divided the sky into 12 equal sections, which is the zodiac.
Okay, can you do it?
Okay, we're going to try. She asked if I can name all of them. I can. I'm going to try to go in order.
Okay.
Okay. So January to February is Capricorn.
No, that's wrong already. It's Aquarius.
You're right. Okay. Wait, so is Capricorn December to January?
I think yes. I think it comes before.
Okay. So Aquarius is January to February.
Yeah.
Pisces is February to March.
Okay.
Aries is March to April.
Okay.
Taurus is April to May.
Yes.
Gemini is May to June.
Okay.
Cancer is June to July. Is that right?
I don't know. We're going to go over
maybe
it again.
July to August.
But I wanted to test her.
And then Leo is August, maybe early November. Mm-hmm. Scorpio's November.
Yes.
Capricorn is December. Where is Sagittarius?
Sagittarius is in December.
So it's so Sagittarius and then Capricorn?
Yeah.
So Capricorn is end of December, early January. And then Aquarius is late January?
I think it's mid. Yeah.
So mid to late January?
Did you get to 12?
I got to 12. That's okay. All of them.
Yeah, we'll go over it one more time just in case we are wrong because we don't want to give any you wrong
I might be wrong about the months, but I know I got all of them.
Yeah. I'm proud of you. Claps for Jessica. So by the 2nd century CE, the astronomer Ptolemy compiled these ideas into the Tetrabiblos, which is a text that would end up defining astrology for the next 2,000 years. So this is basically...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The moment that astrology became more symbolic and less about predicting fate and more into interpreting meaning.
The planets came to represent archetypes, forces of nature, and facets of the psyche. The famous phrase, as above, so below, was born from this worldview.
My favorite saying?
I love that. It's one of my favorite phrases. It always has hit home for me. Do you ever hear something and you're like, it just sticks with you and you see it in multiple.
You know what I've always really stuck with is, I don't necessarily know it's a phrase so much as a term, but tabula rasa.
I love the
Thomas Locke. Yeah. Is it Thomas Locke?
Nope, it's not. Wait, actually.
John Locke?
I want to say, I thought it was Plato.
I don't know. And okay. Now we're going to have to look it up.
Okay. Now I'm giving I took philosophy a really long time ago, but
I'm going to look it up.
I wanted to say it was Plato.
Yeah. So that was always my favorite saying, though, just because blank slate, and I really liked the John Locke.
Okay.
Did I say right. John Locke?
You said Thomas.
I said Thomas, Locke, and then I said John.
Yeah.
Okay, so I still got there, but I always.
What was I thinking now? Maybe the chair thing.
There's okay. a million things that it's it, so yeah, hard. They're all very kind of in that same arena, but I always really loved the meaning of that and just that blank slate and that, you know, humans are a blank slate. And I kind of like to do it in my own interpretation too, and think of projects and creating in terms of a blank slate. So
isn't his theory that humans are born blank slates?
Correct.
And there, yes, but and then there's an argument against it.
There's an argument against it, especially because there have been a lot of studies with twins, you know, where their twins genetic can be separated.
Yeah.
And they'll come back and kind of find
that and have the same
stuff. There will be a twin that, you know, has dealt with adversity, another twin that has had a life that was at the very least different, and they'll kind of circle back to them and see they're kind of like destined to be very similar. And so there is a little bit more scientific data in terms of maybe we're not blank slate, maybe there's something that was already predestined inside of all of us,
like genes.
Yeah. I don't know what our, it could be our past lives. It could be, it's something that
I love. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always, my favorite thing about philosophy is being able to like look at both sides and learn about both sides.
Yes. Actually. Yeah. I'm like that. I did not listen to your voice note earlier when you say that, but I glanced at it where we want to start talking about the opposing ideas, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's important when it comes to, I mean, anything that we talk about on our podcast, but also, you know, especially astrology.
Yeah.
Astrology is such a personal thing for people these days. It's very intimate to, I mean, with learning about trying to figure out yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who are, that speak out against astrology because it might not be backed by science or whatever.
Or just don't take it seriously.
Right. Yeah. And we want to explore both arguments.
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to that, only during the scientific revolution did astrology begin to fall from favor, because there was a point, you know, where Galileo and Kepler were practicing astrology and it was a representation of cosmic influence. But during scientific revolution, it really fell from favor. So as astronomy became grounded in observation and mathematics, it was also dismissed into superstition.
In the 19th and 20th centuries, astrology was reborn through psychology and spirituality. Mm-hmm. The theosophical movement reframed it as a map of the soul rather than a prediction of fate. Psychologist Carl Jung described astrology as a symbolic language of the unconscious, the planets as archetypes, and the chart as the story of the self.
And then we end up here to where we are today, where it's become something that's a lot more personal and it's a lot more simplified. We've got our daily sun sign horoscopes, which, you know, you can find in your newspaper or your apps. I used to love reading the like horoscopes in the newspaper. I used to actually, you know what? The other day I saw a comic strip, like a real one from a newspaper, and I like had the biggest flashback and I was like, I miss this so much, that tactile feeling of the newspaper and just being so excited to read all of that. So I miss it. Actually, the deli that we go to, Neller's.
Mm-hmm. They have newspapers.
Shout out to Neller's. I love them. Oh, it's so good there. But they have newspapers. I've and so them. That's where I get to like actually get a little bit back of the past. And it feels really nice and nostalgic. Also, though, Taurus are suckers for nostalgia. So mm-hmm.
And it's tactile.
Yes. Yes. So we'll get into a little bit more about what the planets represent and what each sign kind of represents.
So let's get into the representations and the planets. So sun is your identity and purpose. It's your core self. It's who you're becoming. It's the way you shine.
It's like your main sign, right?
It's the main sign.
Okay.
Yep. Your moon is emotion and inner world. These are your instincts, your needs, and your emotional responses.
And then that's your second out of like the big three.
Out of the big three. Okay. Usually people ask you your sun, your moon, and your rising. Mercury is mind and communication. It's how you think, learn, and express. Venus, love and aesthetics, of course, what you're drawn to in people, beauty, pleasure, and values. And then Mars, drive and action. It's how you assert yourself, pursue goals, and handle conflict.
Next is Jupiter, which is growth and belief expansion. So you have optimism and faith in life's possibilities. Saturn, structure, discipline, lessons, boundaries, responsibility, and time. So serious. Huh? Uranus, innovation and rebellion, change, freedom, and originality. Neptune is going to be imagination, spirit, dreams, intuition, and transcendence. And then we have Pluto, which is power and transformation, death, rebirth, intensity, and personal evolution. Even Pluto goes through its own personal evolution.
I had no idea that Pluto was so intense.
Well, I mean, look at it. It just decides when it wants to show up, what it wants to do. It's not a planet one year. It's back another year. It's well,
that's exactly why I didn't think it was an intense. It's just like hanging out, but
it's not
power, transformation, death, rebirth, intensity. Like, these are all really intense.
It's your toxic ex back for more.
The toxic ex-planet.
Yes. So, okay, so then let's go over our zodiac signs again, make sure that we got them all, and then kind of describe how those planetary energies are going to express themselves in each sign.
So Aries, myself, mm-hmm. very direct, bold, and initiating.
Yes.
You.
Taurus.
Of course.
Steady, sensual, grounded, beautiful, lovable. Huggable.
There we go. Those,
the last three of that were made up.
No, they weren't. Gemini, curious, adaptable, communicative.
Yes. That's your husband.
Chase.
Yes. Oh,
of course.
Yep. Cancer, our friend Maddie, nurturing, emotional, protective, which is just her. That's so her. She's the most nurturing person. Mm-hmm. Very emotional. Leo, which is my rising. No, that's not my rising. Leo is...
Yeah,
it is my rising. Okay, yeah, Leo is my rising. Expressive, proud, creative. I think most of us know Leos as the very boisterous ones of the group, right? Kind of loud and I guess a bit attention-seeking. I see it more as just being very confident, and I do think that when it comes to me, and it's there.
Mm-hmm. They're also very proud.
Oh, God. Terrible.
Sorry, guys. Okay. Virgo, analytical, meticulous, service-oriented. This makes perfect sense for us.
Yes, being in we're Virgo moons.
Yep. And if you love a Virgo, you know very detail-oriented humans, and they want things their way, and they have...
specifics.
Mm-hmm. Lots of specifics. Also can suffer from grass is greener on the other side mm-hmm. syndrome, where they're chasing perfectionism constantly, and yeah. it feels like they're always going, they're never happy with where they're at. They're always going after something.
Yes. Yes. Something to work through for mm-hmm. sure. Next is going to be Libra. Balanced, charming, relationship driven. Scorpio. I have two Scorpio parents.
I have one.
Intense, secretive, transformative. My mom's going to get mad at me.
My dad is a Scorpio.
Yes. So a very intense, passionate people, I like to say.
And water signs? Earth signs? What would you say they were? They're not fire signs.
No, I don't think we said that. We were talking about Aquarius when we were talking about...
No, but they're not fire signs.
Oh, they're not fire signs?
No.
What are they?
You're going to make me look it up. They're not. I looked it up the other day again. They're something else.
Okay. They
might be air signs.
Straight from the pits.
Yeah, but they're not water signs.
Okay.
For some reason, I thought they were.
Next is Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
Adventurous, philosophical, freedom-seeking. I always know a Sagittarius to be very, like, whimsical, go with the flow. Like, they are not planners. They just do things on a whim.
And yet this is my rising sign.
I know. And it's kind of interesting because I wonder how that presents in you.
Yeah. We'll have to, I don't remember what rising.
You have some contradictions like in your, I bet mm-hmm. your signs are battling each other.
Well, adventurous is
me. You're, yes, very absolutely. Adventurous,
philosophical, yes. Extremely freedom seeking, extremely.
Yeah, so, I guess maybe just the...
I am not whimsical.
Yeah, you're not whimsical.
My Aries trumps everything else.
Well, you're Virgo.
And my Virgo, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so then Capricorn.
Capricorn, yep. Disciplined, ambitious, and structured.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, we're looking at you.
We're looking at you,
friend.
Aquarius.
Yeah.
That is That's Eddie. Oh, first, I was going to say my husband and my child, but we're going to go with Eddie first.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
All wow, Aquariuses. Mason is also?
Yeah, my childhood best friend, Geneva. My neighbor, also Aquarius. My friend Linda's Aquarius as well.
You have a lot of them.
I tend to somehow just find them, and I feel like I really, really understand an Aquarius, and it's always a little bit funny because they're kind of like the standoffish ones, and I am like the opposite of that, and I think maybe that's why it kind of works.
It's a good balance. Mm-hmm. And then Pisces, compassionate, intuitive, dream driven.
I don't know if I have any Pisces friends.
I don't think I do. Oh, I'm sure I have Pisces
yeah friends. I'm sure like, over like at least
yeah.
In my closest circle, I don't think I have a Pisces. Did we go over what month they were?
Why? You tried.
Swung at it. Yeah. So you can essentially think of it this.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Right. The planet is the actor. The sign is the costume, and then the house is the stage or the setting.
So the 12 houses in a natal chart represent different areas of life. They are like stages where the planets perform, and the house system shows how an individual navigates the world from their personality and identity to their relationships and their career.
Yes. So I guess just a few examples of a house. I don't want to go through all of them because it's a little bit too in depth, but just give us an example.
So like the first house is your ascendant house. It represents similar to your sun sign, your self identity, consciousness, and your outward personality. Whereas your second house is possessions, values, money, and self-worth.
Okay, cool. Getting into the fun stuff. Tell me how you feel about astrology. How does it affect your life? Tell me about your sign, how you see it in you as a person.
I'm definitely an Aries. Yeah. I've been
fiery.
Very fiery. Astrology has been part of my life since I was a child. My mother is very into astrology.
Oh, is she?
Very.
Okay.
Yeah, very spiritual. She used to say to me,
what's her sign?
She's a Leo.
Okay.
She used to say to me, Jessica, you're such an Aries. Mm-hmm. You run into everything head first.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Both in life and physically also. She said
your animal's a ram, correct?
A ram.
Yes.
So, you know, like a ram wall.
Oh yeah, first, I know what a ram knows.
So she said you would come around a corner and you would cut the corner short and you would just head first into everything and then you would pop back up and just keep running.
Oh my gosh, Jessica. You're so like that's nutty. I did not start believing in astrology until much later, I think, you know, just having the beliefs that we did growing up and stuff. And I didn't start looking into it, research until later. But as I go back and look at it in terms of my childhood, I think it was very much there and it was apparent. So again, I'm Taurus. I feel like we're a very lazy people at times, but in certain areas, you know, I'm a very ambitious person, but we are the type of people that like love to be in bed. I wouldn't say we like to take huge risks. Taurus really values stability. So we don't lean towards being risk takers, you know? So I think as a kid, especially, and a huge love for aesthetics, I can definitely see all of that presenting in myself when I was a child. I remember going places and being like, I don't want to be here. It's ugly. And my mom would get frustrated with me and she'd be like, you can't talk like that. You can't say that. And I'm like, why? It's not, I don't like it in here. And I didn't start realizing that was actually one of my traits that could benefit me later on in life. I think at first it was just like, my mom's like, you can't act like that in public or do anything, which I learned, you know, obviously some restraint. But it was very apparent to me from an early age that aesthetics were something that I was really passionate about.
How do you feel as an adult, mm-hmm. Someone who is interested in astrology and reads your horoscope regularly now, you said you're a skeptic.
I mean, I tend to be skeptical about
things.
Everything. You know, what was the Facebook quote that I had in my that I shared with you the other day? I think it was
for a child. It was
an Albert Camus quote, and it was like, she believed in nothing, only her skepticism kept her. I forget the end of it. I'm very bad at remembering things verbatim, but I have always been very heavily a skeptic. So I think for me, I don't like live and die and breathe astrology, but I do find it to be a really nice framework to getting to know your personality and then kind of breaking down from there any traits that you don't necessarily love, because I think that's where people get a little bit hung up on and where they tend to use it as an excuse, like, I'm a this, so I act like this. It's like, okay, yeah, recognize it's there and then work through it and kind of learn to be better than that.
I agree. I think it is, first of all, it's fun.
Oh, it's so much fun.
And that's what you should.
It's even more fun just like when you meet people and you're guessing what they are from the get-go and you're like, I know exactly what this person is. Or you can kind of tell right away, like, am I going to get along with this person? Mm-hmm. How are we going to vibe? So I think that's a part that I really do tend to bring into my everyday, even when I'm meeting like strangers.
And they do say, so if you look up or you're interested in your researching kind of why, you know, so many of us are interested in mm-hmm. astrology without there being a lot of scientific or any scientific backing to how accurate it is. You know, people say it's, number one, it brings community. So
yes.
Number two, it's because we consistently try to explain our surroundings. Number three, we love to recognize patterns.
Yes.
And seeing ourselves in a horoscope or seeing ourselves in our signs, this is a way to identify who you are and really kind of
absolutely
dig deeper.
What I find to be a bit frustrating is there is such a dismissive component to it. And if we really wanted to commit to the research of astrology, I think that we could. But because it gets dismissed, I think they're kind of like, it's a joke. We don't need to actually go into depth about this. But for so long, it started as something that was actually beneficial to communities. If you're looking to astrology to help you grow crops for your community, it should be something that I think is taken more seriously and something that more time was put into and wasn't dismissed like it was. But I think even if I'm like skimming the top of science, right? And I am, what are humans, 60% water or something? I don't know the exact percentage, right? But we are made of water. Mm-hmm. The majority of us is water. Planets pull tides, mm-hmm. planets pull the water in our oceans. I think it's a really valid question. Why would we not be affected if we ourselves are a big component of water?
And let's be honest, there are so many other things out there that people believe in mm-hmm. that are not science backed. So
yeah, it's all faith. It's having
correct. Faith in something. It's a belief system and mm-hmm. everyone gets to decide, you know, but I think you should be careful how much weight you put on it.
Yeah.
I don't think
especially when it comes to like, I can't be with that person correct. Because our signs are never going to be compatible. That stuff I find really just it's
an excuse.
Yeah, it's an excuse mm-hmm. and I find it to be unnecessary because at the end of the day, you have a choice in who you are and a choice in changing. Although I don't know what I believe in anymore. I'm like, now that I'm like, we're in the matrix and I don't know if any of us, I don't know if we have free will. I don't know if we have choice. I think this could all be predetermined for us. And every decision we're making was already a decision we were going to make. So there's that.
I really want to talk about how people can sometimes mm-hmm. rely on astrology to explain their reactions.
Oh, yeah.
Or their relationships, but mostly how they use it to justify mm-hmm. their own behaviors. We were just talking about that, but I want to go into depth.
Yes.
Because I think this is something that irritates non-believers mm-hmm. or people who don't buy into astrology, and rightfully so. I don't think anyone, I think it can be used as a crutch.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I'm messy because I'm a...
Yeah, and that's the type of thinking that I don't like either.
And...
I always start fights because I'm a... And it's okay.
It's yeah.
A, no.
It's not okay.
No, it's not okay. Stop.
So, I'm an Aries.
Yes.
The positive qualities of an Aries, in my opinion, mm-hmm. you don't have to agree. My positive qualities as an Aries that present in me that I'm like... I'm glad I got that was mm-hmm. I'm a natural born leader.
Yeah.
I have a lot of drive, a mm-hmm. lot of fire in me. So passion, mm-hmm. lots of passion. I am fiercely loyal.
Yes.
I'm extremely protective. Mm-hmm. All of that in the fire sign. My not so great ideal qualities are that I have a temper.
Okay.
That I am extremely impatient mm-hmm. and that I speak before I think.
I don't even think that you're extremely impatient and all. Like,
I am.
For me, I don't feel like you're impatient.
With you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm in my 30s. Mm-hmm. I have been an Aries my whole life. I have known these are my shortcomings my whole yes. life, and these are the shortcomings of an Aries. Well,
speaking of shortcomings, and probably due to our Virgo moons, we were even speaking today about like our triggers and things that we notice about ourselves when we get, you know, a little bit upset or we feel like we're getting riled up. It's like, what's happening right now? Why am I getting triggered by it? We're like, let's make our list, let's make our notes so that we can go over this in a couple months from now, see if we're still dealing with these triggers. That's the most Virgo moon us that you could possibly find.
You're right, trying to plan out our triggers so that you can reference them and it reminds you that you've been here before. I was talking to a coworker about this because she's also a Taurus.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my friend Monet is a Taurus. And I was going through all of her qualities and she's very similar to you.
Is she really?
Mm-hmm. And I was like, she's like this and she's this. And she's like, me too. So those are the fun parts, right? And we were also talking about shortcomings of the signs. I'm like, okay. So I was explaining to her that as this could just be me. This could be me as an Aries. Uh-huh. You don't really know, but... When I'm upset about something, it is a physical reaction. Like, yeah. I can feel
heat
rising in yeah. my throat and stomach. And I'm 0 to 100 in 2 seconds. And it's very hard to take a deep breath and get myself to, like, come back yeah. down to earth. And it is, that is such a, for me, when I read about an Aries, it's such an Aries thing, but I know that about myself and I know that it's not okay to lash out.
Or it's happening. It's happening yeah, right now and I'm doing it.
I can't just say, well, I'm an Aries. Mm-hmm. I get angry fast. I have to say, okay, I have a temper. Maybe because I'm an Aries, maybe yes. because I'm Jessica.
Yeah.
And I have to
pay attention to it.
Yeah. I have to mind it and make sure that I don't say or do anything that's going to hurt somebody or, you know, like,
yeah,
I love.
So for Taurus's biggest shortcomings, I think the main one is being stubborn, which some might say that I am stubborn about that because I'm like, no, it's not.
Quietly stubborn.
Yeah, I'm like, no, it's not. It's absolutely not. But if I were to actually reflect on situations, I probably do tend to lean towards being stubborn even. Even if I don't have like a predisposition to something, I might just choose the opposite just to be contrary or just to be stubborn. I notice that I will do that and I try to work on it because I'm aware that it's there. Second big shortcoming is the laziness, they say, right? I think that tends to lean in towards being more an introvert too, because Tauruses like to be home, they like to be in bed, they like to be in their covers, they just want to be at home. We're homebodies. So I recognize that in myself too, and I know when I'm in a point of maybe it's unhealthy to be at home this much, maybe I should get out and do things, because I realize how much energy my friends can give me and how much positive energy it can be. So those are two things that I really try to work on. I know that they exist and they're there. And yeah, who knows if it's because they're Taurus, because I'm a Taurus, or it's because I'm Monet.
I love Taurus. Like every time we're on the internet, Instagram, mm-hmm. and we see those memes that are like, oh, you're an Aries. It's always, I always tell her, mine is always like fire and anger and like a middle finger and whatever. And then hers is always like, matcha tea,
a robe,
and grass. I'm like, okay. So I'm like this big firebomb of. She's just like, she's a day at the spa, and I'm a night in the club.
Speaking to that, I have always heard from people that are around me that I have a very calming energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily know if it's because of those qualities or what, but I have consistently received that throughout my life as very calming. Like, I like being with you. You make me feel mm-hmm. calm and safe and stable. Like, Tauruses love stability. Of course, I married a risk taker, and that's kind of hard to work through sometimes when it comes to your relationship, and they may have a different idea on life and how to go at it. One of the reasons why I fell in love with Mason originally is because he was a risk taker, and I felt that was a quality that I needed to add into my life, but I wasn't going to be able to do it unless I forced myself to do it. So I was like, this is something that I need and I think is going to be a really good pairing with me. Although sometimes it's very frustrating, I do think it's helped me to get out of my box.
Well, and you guys are both homebodies. You like to be home.
Yeah,
we are. You enjoy the homestead.
Well, he's got Sagittarius in him too, and he does like to travel. Or at least he did when we were younger. He definitely likes to travel. And I think now as you get older, it's just kind of a pain to travel, and it's exhausting. Oh, he's on
his dog, is what it is.
Now he's got his baby, so he refuses to leave her unless we can go places with her. Then he's like, absolutely, let's get in the car and go. So,
Chase is a Gemini, mm-hmm. as I said. I'm rigid.
Yeah,
whether that's Aries or it's Virgo or it's the perfect combination of both.
I think it might be Virgo.
Very rigid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Aries are very stubborn as well, yeah. and they're very like, I like things my way.
You know what I think is really interesting, though? I'm sorry to interrupt you. For how stubborn both you and I are, we always find a way to like meet in the middle and mm-hmm. acknowledge each other's wants or desires and just be like, okay, like I'll meet you here and I'll meet you here. And we just make it work. And I think that's because we're both so aware of.
Mm-hmm. I also think, yeah, you have to know that you're stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very upfront with that, and you have to be actively working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're actively working on a quality, it seems to get better, you know, like
there can be times where it comes back up and it can come back and revisit, but it's important to acknowledge and pack it back up. But Gemini husband,
mm-hmm. so very adaptable, very, I'm always up here, you know, like I said, and I'm very rigid. Yeah. I need things my way. It feels physically painful if I don't have. He's very go with the flow, like mm-hmm. he's very like, okay, whatever you want, you know. Or I'm always like, we need to do this, and okay, you know, and he just kind of lets me go through all of my emotions.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And it doesn't scare him, and he's very like, and he really can. He can walk into a room of people.
Do you ever find a point where he tests you in terms of not giving you your way?
Yes, and I want him to because no one should get their way all the time.
Yeah,
because
I'm like, that can be dangerous.
It is dangerous. And again, maybe this is just me. Maybe it's people in general that have
a lot of responsibility, like consistently they feel like they have a lot of responsibility on their shoulders. I feel like I'm always, you know, I'm a big decision maker in my own life, but in other people's lives as well because of what I do. And if you don't know, I'm an HR director. So I have a lot of decisions. And so that bleeds into my home life where I feel like I'm also making a lot of decisions. So sometimes I need him to be like, no, that is not a good idea. Or no, we are not doing that. And it kind of takes me a minute to readjust and say like, what? And then, you know, I appreciate that because I need, every Aries needs that in their life. They need someone to tell them, don't do that. Or you need to chill out.
Yeah.
You know, in so many words, you need to reassess, take a breath, walk away.
Oh, I love that. You need to reassess.
Yeah, you need to reassess. Think
that is a good phrase to tell myself when I am having a moment. Just stop. You need to reassess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then actually do it.
And if you, yeah, if you love an Aries, if you're around them, you know, they need that. They need, and they also need people to make help, to help them make decisions so that they don't feel constantly respond. Mm-hmm. And I think the response, the feeling of that responsibility, it is really, it's not like I'm not responsible for everybody's emotions, but I tend to feel that I am a lot of the time. And sometimes you need people like you or like Chase to say, you are not, and you need to just step back and like let things happen without feeling like you need to be in control of everything.
Yeah. I growing up, I felt a very big need to, or a pull to control. And as I've gotten older, I really have let it go and have learned to just ease into things and just go a little bit slower, but be okay with fluidity and just seeing what happens, because it always tends to end up being in my favor. And even if it doesn't end up being in my favor, I'm okay. Everything's fine. Yeah,
Monet is very much like, it's going to be fine no matter what. And I'm like, okay. but it's good because I believe you.
Also, I am saying that from a point of like where I felt at the very least that my life got turned upside down and it was crashing and it was burning. But I ended up fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
More than fine.
Yeah, I ended up fine. So I'm like, if I can go through that and that and that and that, then I know that I can do a lot and I am a strong person and things are going to be fine and I can actually reassure people. And from a place of some experience, like, I promise you it's going to be fine. Even if you lose X, X, or X, it's going to be fine.
And all this to say that astrology really is, should be used as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
In, you know, in our opinion.
Yeah.
And not and a crutch. Fun. And it should be fun.
Yeah.
And learn about yourself. Learn about your friends. Talk about it. If you're not already, I feel like the most fun is learning about your partner.
Oh, I mean, I love learning about my friends too, though. Like, when you want to deepen a relationship with your friend, I love learning about all their signs. Because I want to be a better friend, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to be a better partner to them too. Not just my life partner, but a friend partner. So I am very much into looking at my friend's signs, and every morning, you know, check my CoStar. Used to use Pattern very heavily, which Pattern is the very in-depth app that gives you a ton of information that I found to be extremely accurate, but it was expensive. And so I kind of stopped using after a while. But CoStar is good, especially for somebody who's wanting to know more, and you can add your friends on there and you can see. I think they make it fun. They make it very
playful.
It is
very fun. It says a lot of really funny things.
Yeah, and they really roast us and read us to filth sometimes. So they can be spot on. There's some times where they're a little bit off, but it can be very spot on.
Well, sometimes they just say things that I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, like something crazy.
Something like, random.
So it'll be like, don't act like a ninja today. You know your place. And it's like, what? I don't even know what that means about anybody.
So true. And I'm like,
Okay, no ninja.
I'm like, yeah, okay, I won't do it.
But sometimes it says things that are scary accurate.
Yes.
Like we were just scary talking about accurate. It and then it pops up and I'm like.
Well, you know, and that could be a cookies issue happening there because.
Oh, maybe you're right.
When we
you're
were
right.
In San Miguel for a wedding, we both had wedding horoscopes that mm-hmm. were happening. And I was like, this is, there's something happening here. Like they have to be listening to us. And I am aware that our phones listen to us, but I hadn't necessarily considered specific apps listening, right. especially when it comes to astrology, because I think it could be a little bit cheating. But we'll see. Well, we are keeping our, we're writing notes, we're making our patterns aware to each other to see mm-hmm. if it's real or if it's falls into our skepticism, right?
Mm-hmm. Ready to... Yeah. Wrap it up.
Love you guys.
Love you. Have a good night.
Good night. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.